Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
It's 5 o'clock.
Yeah, I think a bit of a storm in a teacup, I think, makes a good story.
The grass is extra brown this week.
Oh, I can feel this is going to end in tears with something stuck up. No, I'm the green agent.
This is Primetime on British Open Week.
Presented by the Winco Foods Portland Open, August 8th through 11th. 100% of ticket sales go to local charities. Order now at WincoFoodsPortlandOpen.com.
Primetime with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Welcome back in. Hot 5 and 5 coming up here as it's British Open week as we play a non-Irish British band for reasons unbeknownst to me. I don't know why this bothers me so much, but it does. Like Swag failed all
the
opens.
It's the last time you have to hear it, Sue.
He failed all the opens with British music, like U2, the Cranberries, and then he just like he got to the end and he just went with like Dropkick Murphys.
And Dropkick Murphys, what the heck? Boston.
Throw it in. What the hell? Isaac Rupp is out. We're rocking you on a Friday. Souk, Lynch, Andrew Nimick sitting in with us. Hot 5 at 5 coming up here in just a few moments. It is not one of those like uber sporty sports days either. It's like we're like kind of in the dog days of summer, but it's beautiful outside. The traffic, though, is absolutely horrific. I don't know what it is about nice weather. Like if you have really bad weather or really nice weather, the traffic like grinds to a halt in the city. I don't know why that is. I think if it's bad weather, people, I'm assuming the road gets slick. I don't know why. If the nice weather, maybe everyone's just trying to get outside and like go somewhere. But today was just an absolute slog everywhere you go. It took me over an hour. Normally it takes me 20 minutes. It took me like an hour and 15 minutes to get into work today.
Caused me significant anxiety not being in traffic, waiting for you to get here to tell me what we would talk about. I made it here fine. I was coming from the Clackamas area, but
I also experienced very minimal traffic.
Did you really?
Yeah, I only sat a little bit on I-5 for maybe like two extra minutes. It took me like 25 to get here today.
And people are texting in that like across the board now, at least coming in from Vancouver. So 205 was an absolute parking lot. 84 was even worse. And that tells you something because like when you do the GPS, you know, I basically have two ways to get here. You can either go down like Highway 14 and get on I-5. And then go the way I went. So when the way that I went that took me an hour and 10 minutes, when that was the best way to go, then you know you've done stepped in it one too many times. So sorry if you're stuck in traffic out there. We'll try to keep you company for the next couple hours, but at least enjoy the sunshine. Roll down the window, enjoy that breeze as you go about 5 miles an hour down the lovely freeways in our fair city. Now, though, let's get to the Hot 5 at 5.
Oh.
Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, darling, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5. Refreshed on the fan by Frost Brewed Coors Light.
Number five.
Well, the New York Yankees may be a bunch of savages, but they will be without their savage leader as Aaron Boone gets a one-game suspension for his tirade, which, Mike, you're a Yankee fan. What the hell was that even about? What does that mean that his players are savages?
I don't know, but it's fantastic, and they all agreed that they were a bunch of effing savages, and it was one of the best mic'd up, he wasn't mic'd up, but best caught on mic tirades that I've heard in a long time. Only the Terry Collins one is better, in my opinion.
Yeah, so one of the players, I forget who it was losing it in the dugout. Was it
Brett Gardner was smashing his bat into the top of the dugout.
And so he knew that Gardner was going to get rung up for that. So he ran out there to argue with the umpire. I think it was only like in his fifth game that he had been umping.
Yeah, and he missed two very clear balls on DJ LeMahieu. So he was yelling at him like, get it together.
And this is what he said. He said, my guys are effing savages in the effing box right now. You're having a real piece of S game to start this thing. I feel bad for you, but effing get better. That guy is a good pitcher, but our guys are effing savages in that box. Our guys are savages in that effing box. Tighten it up now, okay? Tighten that S up.
And he goes, tighten that bleep up.
I was watching the game on MLB Network, and the pitch that he lost it on, game was on mute. I didn't hear what anybody was saying. I was like, you got to be kidding me. And then I'm not a Yankee fan or anything. I was just watching a baseball game. It was on. And he comes out, and I was like, he's right to get mad. And I liked his rant. He said the right thing. Get it together, because it was bad. It was noticeably bad, and I don't watch a ton of baseball. And I was like, that's terrible.
I retweeted this yesterday. There's a full minute and a half clip with all the curses in it and stuff at MikeLynch27 on Twitter. It is so much fun to watch the behind the scenes kind of exactly what they're saying in that moment, because normally you don't get to hear it.
You know what would solve that? Robot umps. Just saying.
But then you'd lose that.
Number four, Tyreek Hill will not be suspended by the NFL. They released a statement today basically saying that the records in that case are sealed. There's no proof that he violated the personal conduct policy, so he will be fully reinstated. And the Kansas City Chiefs released a statement saying they're glad this is over and they're welcoming back with open arms, and they're going to reopen contract negotiations with Tyreek Hill. So apparently no harm, no foul, and we can all go back to loving Tyreek Hill and pretending that he's not a wife and child beater.
It's hard to feel bad for the Chiefs because they took a chance on him and he had some issues in college. At the same time, they did do the right thing and cut Kareem Hunt, and now he's with the Browns and going to be a star in their offense. Yeah. They kind of had their hands tied. They couldn't cut him because he's just going to sign with a rival, so they kind of just have to hang on.
Number three here, we've got some good piece of news here for the Oregon Ducks. In fact, the two Oregon Ducks that were in here yesterday, the two Jakes, Jake Breland was named to the Mackey Award watch list for the nation's best tight end, and then Jake Hansen was named to the Remington Awards watch list, which goes to the best center in the country. Both of these guys viewed as top 100 prospects in the NFL, and I'm telling you, the Oregon Duck offensive line has a chance to be the best offensive line in the country. I know that's crazy coming from the Pac-12, but there's four legitimate All-Americans with Lemieux, Penei Sewell, Throckmorton, and Jake Hansen. Four All-Americans on this offensive line.
No argument here. They have more starts on that offensive line than any team in America, and one of them is a true sophomore.
So I go back. Like, you've got, to me, one of, if not the best offensive lines in the country, and you've got supposedly the number one quarterback in the NFL next year. I don't know why anyone says that expectations shouldn't be that high for Oregon. I don't buy it. When you bring back that line with that quarterback, you should be expected to be really good. The fall from grace continues. Matt Harvey at one point was viewed as the Dark Knight and a savior for the New York Mets. Matt Harvey was put on assignment today and sent down by the Angels after just having a woeful year. And you just think back to when the Mets made that World Series, when they had Syndergaard, when they had DeGrom, when they had Harvey, Wheeler. Like, they had everything going. The best young pitching staff in baseball. Some people said it was the best young pitching staff since the Braves. And their dominance, and look what's left of it. And Matt Harvey, well, it couldn't happen to a nicer guy because he's a douche, but in some ways you do kind of feel bad because it is... I can't remember a player having this kind of fall from grace this fast.
It would have been Jacob DeGrom, Noah Syndergaard, Matt Harvey, Steven Matz, Zach Wheeler.
Yeah.
Right now you've got Jacob DeGrom, who's amazing.
Yep.
Syndergaard is kind of bad this year. Wheeler can't stay healthy. Matz is kind of bad. And now Harvey's on two different teams since the Mets and continues to be the worst of all of them.
Matz is in the bullpen now. He didn't even start for him.
Yeah.
No, it's just kind of gone off the rails. The British Open round two is in the books. And real quick before we get you the leaderboard, for the first time, both Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson did not make a cut in the same major. They're both going home. Also, Rory McIlroy made a great run trying to recover from his brutal outing. He shot a 6-under-65, but it was not enough, so he's going to go home in his home course. The leaderboard, J.B. Holmes, the American, and Shane Lowry, both, by the way, rotund and lovable, sitting there at 8-under. Tommy Fleetwood and Lee Westwood at 7-under. Cameron Smith, 6. Who else? I'm looking at other notables. Brooks Koepka is in at 5-under. Jordan Spieth at 5-under. I'm looking Tony Finau, 4-under. John Rahm, 4-under. Matt Kuchar also there at 4-under. Dustin Johnson at 3. So shaping up to be a pretty good weekend for the British Open.
So
I do like how Rory came within one shot of making the cut after yesterday.
Wow. If he wouldn't have had the triple. So Rory started out, he had a quad on hole one, and he had a triple
on hole 18.
So if you just eliminate one of those, I mean, he had a great day today, so you can't tell me that nerves didn't play a role in that. But Hot 5 of 5, refreshed by Frost Brewed Coors Light. Ducks and Beaver fan, power up for game day. Be sure to grab some Frost Brewed Coors Light. Please drink responsibly. All right, we come back. I do want to touch upon Tiger Woods for a brief moment because he said some stuff yesterday that I think was the first time that he really acknowledged it, and he kind of talked about it today where he just looked defeated. He just looked broken. Father Time is undefeated, and we're seeing it ravage both Phil. We're seeing it ravage Tiger, and I think there's a sport where Father Time normally takes his toll a lot faster than it does anywhere else, but there's been a couple guys that have been able to at least battle it to a draw, but one of these days, it's going to come to an end, and it may happen this year. I want to talk about that when we come back. Primetime here on The Fan.
This is a British Open Week edition of Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
Presented by the Winco Foods Portland Open, August 8th through 11th.
On 1080 The Fan.
The British Open finished up round two. Tiger's going home. Phil's going home. And yesterday, you know, Tiger was horrific. I think he shot 78. It was a little better today. I think he went 70, but obviously he's going home. And he said after the round one that he goes, look, I can't move out there. And if you watched him, he was clearly in pain. And it's the first I've heard him really just admit that not only is he not well, but it may not get any better. Right after, he did everything he could to get ready for the Masters this year. And after the Masters, he just fell apart. Right. And we may never see that again. Father Time is undefeated. He talked about it. He just wants to go. He literally said, I just want to get on a plane and go home. That was his quote after today's round. I want to go home and I want to rest and I'll try to recuperate and he'll try to get ready for the playoff, the FedEx Points Championship at the end. But he basically was like, look, I'm a broken guy. Father Time is undefeated. Right. You can't beat it. Except if you're Barry Bonds, then, you know, there's a ton of steroids there. But even Bonds, right, eventually it falls off. And the one sport where you would think that you fall off faster than any other is the NFL. And yet we're seeing a handful of guys here at least battle Father Time to a stalemate right now. When you look at the fact that Tom Brady is going to be 42 this year, Drew Brees is 40. I think he'll be 41. I think this will be at some point in the season, he'll turn 41. But he's 40, 41. Brady's 42. Roethlisberger, 37, 38. And yet these are still viewed as the elite quarterbacks. I mean, Brady, Super Bowl winning guy. Drew Brees still putting up huge numbers. But as we roll into this year, you have to ask the question, when will Father Time defeat Tom Brady? Because we keep being like, everyone doubts Tom Brady, everyone doubts Drew Brees, and they keep proving you wrong. Well, one of these years, we're not going to be wrong. One of these years, the doubters are going to be right, and this thing is going to go sliding away. Like, look what Peyton Manning a couple years ago when he was in Denver. He got to Denver that first year. Remember, they lost the Super Bowl, and he was putting up all kinds of record. By the time they got to that second Super Bowl and they won it, Peyton Manning had the worst quarterback rating of any starting quarterback in the league and was getting benched. His defense was good enough in the run game. They won a Super Bowl. And I just, every year, I feel like a schmuck for doubting Brees and Brady. But one of these years, I'm going to be right. And you start to look at their performances towards the end of the year, especially Drew Brees, who was not anywhere near the same player in the postseason. When you look at the pick he threw to basically cost them the championship game and the pick at the very beginning of that, where he went to throw a deep ball and underthrew, I'm trying to remember who it was, but he underthrew a guy by about 6 yards and ended up being intercepted by Philadelphia in that first possession. Drew Brees towards the end of the year did not look like the Drew Brees we saw at the start of the year. And we've seen this out of Tom Brady a couple times over the last handful of years. these guys are not able to finish the season the way they're starting it. And one of these years, maybe it's going to be this year, they're not going to be able to start it. They're going to start it the way they've been finishing it the last couple of years.
Yeah, I mean, that's a tough take to argue with. At some point, no doubt, these guys are going to wear down. Usually, and we see it like in basketball, Carmelo Anthony had that year with the Knicks where his numbers started to dwindle, where he wasn't getting as many rebounds. His three-point percentage went down. And then the next year, he just was like broken. And I wonder if we're going to start to see that here, where maybe is this going to be the year for Breeze? I think it's a really good point. They're not going to keep doing this at 45 until they're 45, 46, 47. At some point, it's going to fall off.
Right?
It has to. It has to. But it's hard to pick against Brady. I mean, it's really hard to pick against Drew Breeze and Brady. The league has changed so much to punish defensive linemen and linebackers when they hit the quarterback too hard.
Sure.
That's got to be part of the reason these things are extending. We've also seen that offenses change. It used to be that a quarterback would drop back and sometimes hold the ball for 3 or 4 seconds, and they'd get blasted. And now they try to get rid of the ball in, what, like 2.3 or 2.5 seconds? They're trying to make a decision and throw a quick pass, and that's extending their careers. Peyton had the neck issue that really crippled him at the end. I mean, truly, literally crippled him at the end. Brady and Breeze have so far dodged that bullet. Maybe they've got 2 or 3 more years in them. I wouldn't take them in fantasy probably anymore because they do wear down. But at the same time, you go ahead and be on that island of Brady and Breeze. This is it for them. I'll stay with the until I'm wrong. I'll stick with those are 2 of the top 4 or 5 quarterbacks in the league.
I just feel like if I say it every year, eventually I'm gonna be right. So every year I'm gonna like hedge my bet and be like, is this the year? It's just insane because even with what you're saying, and I agree with the fact that yes, they're getting hit less, they're protecting them more. But that is still an absolute grind of a season, and you still get hit. And even just like arm strength and arm talent, like think about, you know, the natural decline that happens as you get older. I mean, I'm 40 now, right? And I get it. I'm not Drew Brees and I'm not Tom Brady, and you have all kinds of nutritionists and you're throwing all this stuff at it. But physically at some point, and you can see it, both of these guys, they don't throw the same ball that they used to. Reaction time. Just this. You're playing against 22 to 30 year old guys in their physical peak and you're in your 40s. It's amazing to me that both of these guys have done it as long as they can. But it's almost like we've gotten to this point now where we refuse to accept the fact that it's eventually going to happen. And when it does, it's going to be startling. But the Peyton Manning one, I remember just watching Peyton Manning being like, oh my God, what is happening here? You've seen it with Eli Manning, but Eli wasn't as good as these guys, even at the peak. But we get to this now where Philip Rivers probably is in this category too. How old's Philip Rivers? I got to look and see, because he's got to be 35, 36.
And his years are rough because he has like 9 kids or 10 kids. So those are long, tough years.
Well, his knees are all shot. Yeah, he'll be 38 this year. So you've got Roethlisberger's 37, 38. Brady's 42. I think Breeze is 40. Philip Rivers is going to be 38. A lot of the elite quarterbacks in this league are old. I mean, just if you go back 10 years, I don't know if any of these guys are in the NFL. The old style of NFL where you were allowed to hit basically with impunity, I don't think not one of those guys is still playing in the NFL. The wear and tear on the body would be too much. Think about some of those hits. You're a big Niner fan. Think about watching Joe Montana just get the living you-know-what kicked out of him. Was it the Jim Burt, the Giants hit, that basically ended his career in San Francisco? And you can't get hit like that anymore, but let's also not pretend that this is two-hand touch and that there is some punishment that these guys take.
Yeah, week one, Steve Young and Jerry Rice both got hurt when they were older, and it was like maybe one more year, and they both got hurt, and it kind of ended both of them. I just think this is what the league wanted. This is why they did. They wanted to extend, particularly quarterbacks. It was an era of quarterbacks. Let's tighten things up so these quarterbacks can play longer. Because who is the next generation? Who do you feel good about? Are there 4 or 5 or 6 guys in their mid-20s, or even you can take younger guys, that you say, these guys are going to be the next guys that are stars when they're 40.
Well,
I'm not sure.
Mahomes is there that you feel really good about. It's only been 1 year. But,
no doubt.
But Mahomes is legit. Wentz, if he's healthy. But again, that goes back to the health thing. And this is kind of my point with the, you know, granted, it's a softer league now, but Wentz, right, has been injured. Trying to think of the other, Russell Wilson. How old's Russell?
Russell's older too. Russell's 30 or 31, I think, or something like that.
Yeah, he's 30. So he'll turn 31. Boy, he's older than I thought. So I guess he wouldn't fall into that category. Aaron Rodgers is 32.
35.
Is he 35?
Aaron Rodgers is 35.
Yikes. So, I mean, you are some long in the tooth ones. Golf is a young, but I don't know if he's...
That's a system thing.
I don't know if he's necessarily a star. I don't feel great about Dak. You don't feel great. I think Dak is good, but I don't think Dak is truly elite. Mariota and Winston, no. So it might just... I mean, maybe that's what it... Maybe it's Wentz if he's healthy and Pat Mahomes.
Deshaun Watson,
Andrew
think
Luck
maybe belongs
Andrew
in that category.
Luck is into that. But again,
Luck's older and has had issues.
Luck's older and has been beat up. I mean, Luck has missed significant time. Because that when some people, that Luck said he didn't know if he was ever going to throw a football again.
Clearly, it's going to be Josh Allen. He's going to be the one who steps up out of this.
Josh Rosen, Josh Allen, all those guys. It is funny.
Maybe Deshaun Watson?
Yeah, Watson's good. Again, I think you have to do it for a little bit more. And again, coming off the knee injury, but when
another injury.
When Watson's healthy, Watson is pretty scary. But Watson and guys like that, and I think Wentz falls into this category too, the mobile quarterbacks, I think the injury stuff scares me more about them. When you look at the Breeze and the Brady, Roethlisberger is different because he's more like Cam Newton. He was built to take punishment. But the pocket guys that get rid of the ball, I think you feel better about that. But so much of Deshaun Watson, so much of Carson Wentz, even Pat Mahomes.
Baker Mayfield
falls into this category, is they're the mobility. They run around and they make plays with the legs. You get hit more and you rely more on your athleticism. So as you get older and that athleticism starts to go a little bit, I don't think that they can have the longevity that the true pocket quarterback has. Whereas maybe if Goff turns into one of those guys where he ends up being a star, he is more of the pocket guy that gets rid of the ball. So all this new age quarterback stuff of the mobile guy, it's kind of a double-edged sword because you can have some success with it, but you have, I think, a greater risk of injury and maybe the career isn't as long. Although a guy like Russell Wilson, I think, has done a phenomenal job, one, bulking up, and two, I think Russell Wilson does as good a job as anyone of moving around and still not taking big hits. I think he's a master at it, which is why I think Russell Wilson, to me, he's vastly underrated. I think Russell Wilson is an elite, elite, elite quarterback and maybe doesn't get the credit, but I think his game evolved over the years. And some of the younger guys, the Wentzes and the Watsons and the Pat Mahomes, you're going to have to wait and see that year after year. Dak Prescott probably falls into this for me. You're going to have to wait and see how that goes. Because one thing I've always believed in is running quarterbacks don't last. If you are a guy that relies on your legs and you don't develop a passing game, eventually the devil's going to come for you. And like, I even wondered about Cam Newton. Cam Newton is a physical freak. Biggest, best specimen we've ever seen at quarterback. And he's been able to get by with a style that no one else in the NFL has been able to play consistently. But I wonder now, coming off the shoulder injury again, and as he approaches, I'm sure he's got to be getting close to 30 now as well. I wonder if we're talking about in another year or two, looking at Cam Newton, who is 30 years of age. I wonder if in a year or two, if we're looking at Cam Newton saying, God, this isn't the same player. Like, running backs lose a step after 30, right? And Cam Newton basically has a running back workload that has been put on his body in this league year after year after year. And if he continues to try to rely on those legs, Cam Newton won't be one of those guys that plays until he's 37, 38 years old. I don't buy it.
Shoulder and concussions, no doubt. And we, as we get into this era where all these great quarterbacks get older, we've talked about for years, almost the rules have gone too far to allow offenses to do too much. I wonder if, and I know the rules aren't going to change anytime soon, but I wonder if some of the offensive potency has been that these quarterbacks have been so good and hung around so long. I wonder if we don't see a regression in points per game here in the next few years as the Breeze, Rodgers, Brady guys go away, because we don't see this young upcoming next wave of great quarterbacks. And we still see guys like Derwin James who are freaks, and Bradley Chubbs and Aaron Donald. We do still see a collection of elite, elite defensive players coming into the league. And I know there's still great elite running backs and receivers, but as a quarterback goes, so go your offense. And we're looking at an era where a lot of the best quarterbacks in the league are going away. I think points per game are going to go down here in the next 4 or 5 years in the NFL when these guys retire.
It's possible. I mean, everything has been set up over the years for the NFL to be a points league, right? We hear that all the time, that just we give the defense nothing. And yet seemingly every couple of years, aren't we back to the same thing of defense eventually finds a way to grow and evolve, no matter what it is, whether it's the short passing game, the West Coast offense, the K-gun, no huddle, tempo, all that stuff. Defenses find a way to adjust. And even with a guy like Pat Mahomes or Jared Goff, and everyone gives me crap over that, waiting for the text line, Goff. The second time around is always harder for quarterbacks to succeed. So as great as Patrick Mahomes was last year, and he was, dude, lit the world on fire. One of the best seasons we've seen. I want to see now that people have had a chance to look at that offense and study it. I want to see where that goes. I'm not saying that he's not going to be great again, but a lot of times we anoint people after 1 or 2 years as, again, the greatest thing since sliced bread. And the NFL, especially defenses, they have a way of fighting back. And maybe you're right. Maybe we are going to get into this where we're going to start to see some defenses catch up. Because it was a handful of years ago, this is exactly what we were talking about, which is why they went to some of these offensive rules to try to loosen it up. And now we're back to this, well, what can defenses do to combat this? And it's too many points. And yet what happened in the Super Bowl, right? The greatest show ever with the Rams. What did it run into? Ran into a defense that was prepared for it. It made it look silly. Both sides of the ball. I mean, that was a defensive, you know, one Super Bowl. So for all the offensive points that we put up and the glitz and the glamour, defense isn't going away in the NFL anytime soon. All right, we come back. We've got a road to go down. We can either go with a little NBA, or there was also some interesting news out of ESPN and one of their hosts who kind of took on ESPN and, dare I say, won. So we'll do a little choose your own adventure. We'll see which way we want to go with this when we come back. Here, though, Lynch.
This is a British Open Week edition of Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
Presented by the Winco Foods Portland Open, August 8th through 11th.
On 1080 The Fan.
Welcome back in. We were talking a little NFL. I transition over into some college football, but you brought up something during the break that I thought was interesting. We're talking about Russell Wilson, who I think is one of the more polarizing players at his position, and I'm not really certain why. I never fully understood why Russell Wilson didn't get more love, but you had an interesting take on why you think there's a stigma around Russell Wilson and maybe people not willing to give him the love that I think he's a top 3-4 player in the league.
Well, I don't think a lot of people truly study the game. They think of it in terms of Brady. What is his iconic moment? He wins Super Bowls. Russell Wilson's most memorable moment is throwing a pick on a slant at the goal line, and it was an unforgivable pick.
Yeah.
Because an incompletion, you're still fine. He could have run it. They had a timeout. They were fine. But because the most iconic play of his highlight reel is a bad one, he gets dropped down a level in terms of the way that we view him. That's my opinion on it, because I don't think anybody can argue, if you really watched him play with the offense, the lack of an offensive line he's had, that he's one of the best 5 or 6 quarterbacks in the NFL. And I talk to Seahawks fans who say, we need to get rid of Russell Wilson and just start over with a rookie. We'll have some money to spend on a new, you know, on some receivers. We'll have some money to spend on a linebacker.
I heard that before he signed his big contract, there were people that were like, deal him and get a bunch of picks. But no one says that about Aaron Rodgers, or
ever.
No one would say that about Drew Brees. But you do say it about Russell. You hear some people say it about Russell. I never thought about that. But so much of the world we consume now being highlights, I wonder, that's I never thought about that, of how much maybe that plays a role, that is the lasting image of Russell Wilson. And if that doesn't happen and they do win and he beats Tom Brady and they do win back-to-back Super Bowls, what do we think about Russell Wilson? As opposed to being a one-time Super Bowl winner. And so much of that, I don't even think people give Russell Wilson credit for winning the Super Bowl. I think people give credit to the Legion of Boom and the defense and Marshawn Lynch. It was almost like he's viewed, the first Super Bowl that he won to me gets viewed almost like Ben Roethlisberger's first Super Bowl. Yeah, you were there, but how much of it was really you? It's like this idea that you could win, that they could have won a Super Bowl with anybody. But we don't say that about Brady, even though a lot of Brady's Super Bowls, and look, I'm not trying to throw any shade at Tom Brady. Tom Brady's the GOAT. Make no mistake about it. But some of Tom Brady, well, the vast majority of Tom Brady's Super Bowls are not blowouts. They're not Tom Brady throwing for 500 yards and him single-handedly taking his team to a Super Bowl. It's 13-10, 24-21, and, you know, field goals and defense. I mean, last year, without New England putting together one of the great defensive performances we've ever seen in the Super Bowl, Brady doesn't have a chance to lead the big drive at the end. Now, give him credit. Again, Brady made the adjustment, that offense. They drove down, they got the touchdown, and was that Gronk down the sidelines, the big play there. Now, he made that play, but without New England's defense, they're in no position. New England shut down the best offense in the NFL, but Russell Wilson's defense goes out and puts the hammer down on a certain Denver Bronco team. Suck it, Mike Lynch. And somehow that's negative on Russell Wilson that he played with a great defense.
So here it is. It's branding. It's something we talked about in the first segment. The New England Patriots had a great defense last year. Stephon Gilmore was better last year than Jalen Ramsey. Everybody remembers Jalen Ramsey because he has a brand.
Sure.
Marshawn Lynch was beast mode. Yeah. He had a brand. He did the Skittles, the whole deal. The Legion of Boom, the 12th man. Brand, brand, brand. What's Russell Wilson's brand? Ciara's hot. He's raising futures, kid.
He's trying to build a brand, though.
He's trying to build a brand, but his brand is kind of more like the goody-goody Christian guy. But there is no, like, brand to him on the football field.
No.
But there is to everyone else, and I see the text line blowing up. It's the defense. It was beast mode. It was, just so people understand things here, Russell Wilson was as good at quarterback for some of those years as the defense was, as the secondary was defensively, and as Marshawn Lynch was as a running back. Fact.
Yeah.
I mean, Russell Wilson was one of the best handful of quarterbacks the year they won the Super Bowl. He was. But nobody talks about it because a lot of fans are about the brand and the highlight. The highlight wasn't good. He doesn't have a big brand. And it's the same reason that when we talk about the Patriots, we talk about Belichick and Brady. Nobody talks about the fact that Stephon Gilmore had almost a historic level season for a corner. We don't talk about it. Because there was no brand to it. He just quietly went about his business. We talk about Jalen Ramsey, who, by the way, regressed last year. And if you ask the average fan who's better, Stephon Gilmore or Jalen Ramsey, 99 out of 100 would take Jalen Ramsey. Yeah. You know why? Because he says every quarterback sucks in the league, and he's got a brand.
Well, it's the same with Richard Sherman, right? Richard Sherman and Marshawn Lynch were the two biggest stars in Seattle when they went to the back-to-back Super Bowls. And not that either one of them wasn't deserving, right? Both of those guys were marquee players, but Russell Wilson was a better player than Marshawn Lynch. Marshawn Lynch wasn't one of the two or three best backs in the league.
Correct.
Marshawn Lynch was really good. Richard Sherman was an elite corner, but why did people know Richard Sherman? People knew Richard Sherman because he was loud and he was brash, and there was a brand, like you said, the Legion of Boom, right? That was something that was on posters, and Russell Wilson was still someone trying to kind of gain a foothold in the league. He didn't come in with a bunch of hype. He wasn't a first-round pick. And it took him a while. And unfortunately, now that Russell Wilson has kind of emerged from that, the team around him isn't as good. And it's weird that we knock some guys for winning Super Bowls with really good teams, and others we don't. Like Drew Brees, when Drew Brees won his Super Bowl, so much of that was Drew Brees. Take nothing away from him. But that Saints defense had a monumental second half of the season and a postseason, including what the pick of Peyton Manning. I'm trying to remember who it was, what the guy in the secondary was that had the pick of Peyton Manning in the second half that kind of changed the course of that game. But then Drew Brees kind of went away for a while and wasn't a factor anymore because New Orleans sucked. His team was terrible. And now we're all in love with Drew Brees again. Why? Because New Orleans has built a good team around him. So if Drew Brees wins another Super Bowl, is anyone going to knock Drew Brees for not being a Super Bowl contender when his team was bad, right? Peyton Manning won a Super Bowl when Peyton Manning was terrible. He won it with a great team around him. But we don't bring that up. We just say that Peyton Manning is a two-time Super Bowl winner. So it really is weird how we judge greatness in the NFL, because some guys get the benefit of the doubt and other guys don't when it comes to having a complete team around him. Like Aaron Rodgers, I think Aaron Rodgers has done a lot with a very shaky supporting cast around him. I don't think Green Bay has done a very good job of building an elite team around Aaron Rodgers.
And their play calling is atrocious. Yes. Everyone talks about how they have the most vanilla playbook. They run a playbook from like the mid-90s. And it's like embarrassing.
And as good as Aaron Rodgers is not good enough, no one is, to single-handedly win in this league. You just can't do it. So if Aaron Rodgers gets another Super Bowl, it's not going to necessarily be because Aaron Rodgers is an elite quarterback. He's always been an elite quarterback. He'll win another Super Bowl because Green Bay puts a better offense and a better defense around him. And no one will fault him for that, but a guy like Russell Wilson will. They'll continue to knock him for that. And once you get labeled with that, I think it's really hard to shake.
The text line is blowing up with like, now that Wilson's got paid, we'll see how good he really is. It's like, well, yeah, they gutted the team. They're all gone. They're not going to win as much as they did before. They were a complete team with a very, very good quarterback. And again, the text line's blowing up with Marshawn Lynch and the Legion of Boom. You're underrating. I'm not saying that defense wasn't one of the best defenses of all time. Now, they openly admit that their basic plan was to hold every single play and dare the officials to call it. Richard Sherman has now talked about it in hindsight, that they've changed the rules with pass interference because the Seahawks said, we're going to commit pass interference intentionally every single play. You can't throw a flag on it. They've talked about it openly now. So they're very good. Slightly overrated historically, although they were very good. Marshawn Lynch was good, but completely overrated historically. People talk about him during that time like he was one of the best running backs maybe ever for that couple years. He was a very good NFL running back, but never one of the top three running backs in the league, I don't think. At least when I think of the best running backs, he wasn't. Russell Wilson was one of the best four or five quarterbacks in the league, and I think you could argue that now. And the text line is proving our point here, because they're overwhelmingly against us. I'm sorry. Everybody I talk football with talks about how Russell Wilson, gosh, he's so sneaky good. People don't realize how truly good he is. His offensive line's not great. He hasn't had a bevy of weapons. Now, he's had pieces for years. You know, Doug Baldwin was very good there for a while, no question. But he hasn't ever had those elite, elite weapons. Put Russell Wilson in the Rams offense last year, and I bet he's better than Goff.
Yes.
I bet he puts up insane numbers with those weapons. He's never had the weapons, and he's still been elite. I think Seahawks fan really underrates how good Russell Wilson is.
Look at this. So why has Seattle been worse as the defense has lessened, yet Wilson has become elite? This is my – they're not as good a team.
Right.
No one's doubting that, but that's my Aaron Rodgers theory, right? Aaron Rodgers won a Super Bowl, and since then hasn't been back, right? He's only been to one. So is it Aaron Rodgers' fault that Green Bay hasn't gotten back to a Super Bowl? No, it's not. It's not Russell Wilson's fault that the defense got worse. It's not Russell Wilson's fault that Richard Sherman got older and then broke down. The fact that Seattle has stayed relevant and that Seattle has been a playoff team is a credit to Russell Wilson. The best way to win in this league is to have a young quarterback on his rookie contract and draft well, and that's exactly what Seattle did. But to somehow say that Russell Wilson isn't elite because the team has gotten worse as he's gotten better, that's just football 101. Like it's harder and harder to do, which is why you have to have a great organization around you when you start having to pay people. And that's why you see the teams that win consistently are the ones that have great quarterbacks, but also great management, that draft well, that play the free agency game well, and they're able to fill in the holes around that roster. Because once you start having to pay guys in the NFL, it gets harder and harder to win. All right, we come back. One more segment before we roll on into the club, because we're way over right now. Prime time here on The Fan.
This is a British Open Week edition of Prime Time with Isaac and Sue.
Presented by the Winco Foods Portland Open, August 8th through 11th.
On 1080 The Fan.
Boy, the Better You Today text line 55305. It really is. It is. Russell Wilson is the most hated, or I don't know, hate is the right word. He's just the best quarterback that gets the least amount of respect. I'm trying to think of another elite quarterback that, without question, like you can put him where you want on your list, but is anyone going to not put him in their top five, right? At this point, if you're doing top five quarterbacks in the league, Russell Wilson is in that top five. And yet, even in this area where there's seemingly your hometown, it's not necessarily up Seattle, but you know, a lot of Seahawk fans around here, and it's overwhelming the negative response that Russell Wilson gets whenever we bring it up. And no one's bashing Marshawn Lynch and no one's bashing the defense. Those were great teams. And by the way, those, you won't probably have another team like that in Seattle. That was a special team that should have won back-to-back Super Bowls. Now, if you want to blame the second one on Russell Wilson, totally get that. But that is a team that put together back-to-back Super Bowls. That's really hard to do. But I would also make the argument that as that thing got torn down through no fault of Russell Wilson's, that Russell Wilson has continued to make them relevant. He's continued to make them a playoff team and a viable one at that as they go through this rebuilding. And that, to me, again, speaks to the status of Russell Wilson, because I think that's what really can separate a quarterback is then when you don't have a ton around you. I agree. When they had that team with Marshawn Lynch and that defense, there's a lot of quarterbacks that could have won Super Bowls with that team. But I think you can say the same thing about Ben Roethlisberger. I think you could say the same thing about the Rams last year. So this idea that it has to be like a one-man show, winning a Super Bowl or nothing else, it's puzzling to me. And yet I think Russell gets that worse than anything else. And I just think there's something about him. I don't know. You hear a lot of, we're getting that it's kind of phony, that there's a pretentious, it's not real, it's not authentic, that there's an element to that comes along with it. But there's almost like a mistrust, I think, with a large portion of the NFL fan base when it comes to Russell Wilson, that they just don't give him the benefit of the doubt.
I think I do think he's ingenuine at times. I think he's not as nice a guy as he comes across, as he tries to present. But
he does put on a very polished face.
But there are a lot of people. There are a lot of people like that. Just imagine this text line, because this is Seahawks fans. I mean, these people are clearly identifying as Seahawks fans. Imagine if we said, you know, Dame Lillard's a top 5 point guard in the league, which he obviously, and the text line blew up with like, no way he isn't, you're an idiot. Yeah. That's what this is like. I mean, Damian Lillard is beloved in Portland. Russell Wilson is sort of side-eyed like, can we dump him and get a cheaper quarterback and add other pieces? That only works if the young quarterback you get, the cheap quarterback you get, is a star.
Yeah.
That's the only way that recipe works. Like, we were better off when we had a great running back and a great defense. You had a great defense and a great running back because you could pay those guys, because you had a rookie who could get the job done, or a really young player on a rookie contract who could get the job done at a really high level and allow you to build around him. And now, even while the Seahawks say, hey, let's scale this back, we can't keep all these guys, they keep winning because Russell Wilson will not be denied. I mean, he's a very, very good quarterback. And if you read the text line, you'd think of him sort of how maybe Cowboys fans talk about Dak Prescott, in that he's good, but we already have Zeke, you know, we have Zeke and we have a great O-line. And is he really that good? And
that Dak Prescott is Russell Wilson, to me, is just,
that's what I'm saying.
It's baffling.
That's kind of seems to be the level people are putting him at. It's like, maybe he's good. I think he's pretty good, but he's not great. And that's what people kind of say, Cowboys fans kind of say about Dak.
Yeah.
It should be that Russell Wilson and Dak Prescott are in very different places in the way we view them. And just based on the text line, it seems like people kind of think they're similar in the way that you should treat them as a franchise.
Yeah. Someone said, Russell Wilson reminds me of Steph Curry. They seem too perfect to a lot of people and makes you want to trash them. I could see an element of that, because I think that does, sometimes the really polished image rubs people the wrong way when you're viewed as sanitized. Again, when it comes across as not authentic, I do. I think there's an element to that can rub people the wrong way. Plus, with the fallout, the way it happened, the defense didn't do him any favors with, you know, some of the back and forth. You know, there was the articles being thrown that they didn't run the ball because they wanted Russell Wilson to be the star as opposed to Marshawn Lynch. And that's why they threw the ball on the goal line. Whether there was any truth to that or not, that was something that got thrown out by players. And once that stuff gets out there a little bit, I think it's hard to dispel that. And who knows if there's any truth to that. Obviously, the coaches deny it, but some players on the defense have theorized that, and there was some tension there. And I think maybe that has an element to do with it, too, is that, well, if his own teammates don't like him or if the defense had a problem with him, then maybe there's something there, because the defense and the running game were unquestioned. They were unquestioned at the time as Russell Wilson was just kind of starting to come up a little bit.
The one difference here between Steph and Russ, and you just hit the nail on the head there, is that you have not heard teammates kind of come out against Russ. Even KD and Steph had a close relationship. They met face-to-face when KD told him he was going to the Nets. They made a point of getting together. You have heard pieces from inside that Seahawks locker room that they're not the biggest fans of Russell Wilson. So there is a little bit more to the story with Russell maybe being inauthentic, in that he's had some teammates kind of hint or imply that kind of thing. With Steph, he's been beloved. It just adds to the enigma that is Russell Wilson and his popularity in Seattle.
All right, that'll about do it for the regular portion of this program. We move on to the club. I've got a serial pooper update. I've got... well, some great parting words on the part of one diehard Eagles fan. What else have I got cooking up? Oh, and German Shepherd news. Very, very disturbing German Shepherd news. Club 1080 coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.